end is not our leader told us so. Besides, we'll follow him like to and fro, wherever he decides to go. He speaks, we listen, we'll see his vision. He explains so easily, we are all the missing pieces. Maybe you fit right into, ask yourself, it might be true. Now join our hands and come along.
Hello, world.
Hello, universe.
Welcome back to the one and only Carolyn and Joe's show for Christ's sakes, man. I miss this show.
How was your day, Joe?
My day is fine.
Well, I haven't seen you in a while. Tell me about your whole week. Or at least
my
your
whole
weekend.
Week, my whole weekend.
I haven't even seen you. So update me. I know that this weekend you went down to your set.
That is true. I went down to my set. And I do usually what I promote myself usually the way I do it, and very cryptically through, I guess, Facebook and Twitter. I'm not one of those guys that must be very literal. And maybe I'm thinking way too much about myself, saying like, oh, I'm so cool, I gotta say it like this for people to figure it out. But whatever the fuck, America. But yeah, like, yeah, we got...
our show is international, you know that.
It's pretty true, but...
It's not just America.
But the only people that are responding on the message boards are in English. Well, I guess that could be the UK as well.
I know we do have some fans in Australia.
Do we really have fans in Australia, mate?
Yes.
What's up, Australia, mates? Yeah, so basically, if you go to... if you go to astrayproductions.com/helpwantedmovie, you will be able to see that we are doing construction on a diner set, which is going to be the main set of our feature film that Brian Sarvitz and I, and a host of many others, that we're going to be creating in the near future. But yeah, we went down there and we got this cool secret project, because I also do, not secret, but I have this photo side project that I'm doing that's coinciding with the diner, what I'm basically doing is I'm recreating iconic images and also recreating icons that will be on the walls of the diner. Like, if you were to go onto a diner, you know, like any type of, like, if you go onto any, you know, any, I guess, like Peggy Sue's or any type of what are those diners called, like highway, what is it, the highway, it's not a highway diner,
dives.
No, it's not highway dives.
Diners, drive-ins,
roadside,
and dives.
Like, if you go through a roadside diner, they always sometimes they got icons on there. And I thought, wouldn't it be like such an awesome idea if we created our own icons? And of course, I was like, great, because it was like my idea.
So the last time I saw you was Friday night. We were both at the Salvation Army picking out a wardrobe.
That's right. And you know what? One thing about being a photographer, and I guess in this point of my career, my photographer and filmmaking career, or just character building career, is that somehow I always end up buying women's clothing, sort of like Ed Wood, I guess, but not for
now,
myself.
Do you try them on?
I don't try them on, though, but I'd like to think that I can put a very neutral stance.
Have you ever worn a dress before?
No, I have not. And I have not. And
even
even in
just your own privacy.
No, fuck no. I don't wear any of that shit. That's the thing. And you know, that's
and that's a true answer, because we know that the Carolyn and Joe show always brings out the truth in people.
Yes, or at least some of us. But even in all honesty, even Joe not being the character he is on this radio show, I have not worn any women's clothing besides probably like wigs. Is probably the closest thing.
What type of wigs have you worn?
I've worn a blonde wig, and I've worn a brunette wig. I mean, I've worn wigs just for the hell of it. And they're not some of them are
for
not
any
even,
reasons.
Just to fool around.
Okay.
Because yeah, that's one. Yeah, because also one of my filmmaking partners and production partners, Jake. After I had a meeting with another actress, an awesome actress named Becca Bernard, where she lent me her her wigs. Of course, what was the first thing we did? It was like, hey, you know, it was me, Jake, and his girlfriend, just chilling in the living room, and I was like, hey, I got these wigs. What the fuck? Let's try them on, right? So of course, you know, we all tried them on, and it's funny how, like, even though if you do put on a wig, and also I have long hair in general. I've had long hair, and some people always, you know, back in the day, it was sort of, I guess people said like, oh, it was so long, it was like a girl's length. So to me, it's sort of like I sort of know how it feels to have, in a way, long hair. So it wasn't as, like, a big dramatic in a sense. But it's interesting when you mix colors. So that's why I was like, oh, if I'm gonna wear this, if I'm gonna wear a wig, I might as well wear like a blonde one. It looks all weird. Yeah, so we just sat there and we looked at each other wearing these weird wigs, and we're like, yeah, this is sort of weird, but awesome at the same time.
Have you ever worn makeup before?
I've worn makeup for television and being in front of a screen, but not like lipstick, not like eyeliner. Yeah, not like women's makeup, not like women's faces. That's something that, you know, I just don't do. Sorry, world.
I don't know if you'd look good with eyeliner.
Who knows?
Although some of the guys I do like wear eyeliner.
I'd like to think that I'd look good in anything that I own that I can like really just really go for.
You know? I feel like the guys that I like in eyeliner, I can only like them because they're a name value. Like Chris Angel or Dave Navarro.
The lead singer of Green Day, Billy Joe, wears eyeliner.
I think it works better if you're like in a band.
But it's not too. It's a subtle thing. It's not like you're trying to recreate like the 60s like eyeliner, like, you know, whatever the,
like David Bowie or something.
What's it called? Because I am sort of gaining a little bit of makeup knowledge because now that you know, we're really now amping up sort of our photo work with me and Hannah Ellington, my makeup artist. You know, I'm sort of picking up on stuff, you know, like the eyeliner or like what is it, like liquid eyeliner and shit like that, and like knowing that look, you know,
mm-hmm.
just understanding. I think that just sort of, you know, it helps me to. And also when buying women's clothing, it's one of those. It's. I think in my sense, I can do it and not appear to be just a straight up pervert. You know what I mean?
Well, you did also bring me with you.
Yeah.
And also I did try on the clothes, so it's not like you had to go in and try them on.
But see, I think I'm able to get, you know, be away from the sort of jock mentality, I suspect, of being like, oh, we're just touching thongs and shit, you know, because it's like,
you didn't put like a thong on yourself like the kids in the Chris Angel store did.
Yeah, I didn't do that shit. But like, you know, I guess doing what I do, it's like I've had like women undress in front of me and change clothes and be. I'm at this point, it's sort of like just whatever because I guess.
Wow, you're such a lucky guy.
Well, I guess I'm so like egotistical that I'm just like, you know, it may look like it's like, oh, Joe gets to just choose what they wear, but like the whole time I'm just thinking about myself. I'm like, that's not gonna work on the image, you know. It's just, I don't know. It's just my professionalism sort of kicks in because at that point it's sort of just like. Almost like, in a way, it's the most unerotic thing in the, you know what I mean? Because it's like,
well, you're in a professional environment.
Yeah,
it's not like, come on, you're not that sleazy that you're gonna pull something off.
And I think that's why maybe a lot of them trust me. That's the key thing.
That's good.
I think that's the key thing.
And I think it's good to have that trust, especially if you're gonna be changing clothes or, you know, all that stuff that goes on.
And you
don't want to like have some guy that's like all like, hey,
I think
I'm looking at her.
Yeah, I think where the real problem comes from is that like there are guys out there that are just like, hey, I really get to just, I just want her to be naked all the time and shit like that. You know, and that's a good dream, you know, and all to have that, like, ooh, that's the best, you know, and probably a lot of you are now looking down at me like, oh, look at that dude. He's a fruity photographer. Well, fuck you, man.
Are you a fruity photographer?
Hell no. I mean, I say it's a pretty amazing job just to be able to have that opportunity. But at the end of the day, it's sort of like, well, I can't really take advantage of that because they're also trusting me at the same point, you know? And it's sort of like, well, this is now a team effort. Because, like, to get a good product, you sort of need to keep your composure at the same time. And, you know, you just sort of step up. You sort of just do the right job. Because you know what? It's like, also, since I was the one who chose, like, the majority of the clothing, it's like, well, you know what I mean? This is a part of a project aspect. If I was, like, a high schooler, I think, you know, they'd be like, oh, I probably get to get this girl naked and I get to look at her. But majority of the time at that point, they don't get to see that person naked because there's no trust there. But,
So you could have been like that guy in Day Tripper, that artist.
But also,
who saw like 300 and he had like 300 and whatever 62 models or something that were his loves of painting.
Yeah. I thought that was a great part of the story too.
And he had like
he's
five illegitimate kids or five boys and like four girls or something like that. Like, I don't remember
like
the
numbers. Like he's fallen in love with like every one of his paintings of a girl was someone that he fell in love with.
Yeah,
I thought that was that's a really cool aspect because there has to be sort of that level, but then you just sort of revert the energy. And also taking consideration, it's like, when if these girls are like sort of like changing, it's sort of like, well, like Hannah's there, you know, like there's, it's not, there's, it's, it, the moment is sort of just like, all right, you know what I mean? At that point, it's like, I'm like, all right, come on, we got to shoot this shit. Hurt. I'm like, put it on, please, faster.
But do you think in the back of your mind, like photographers that work for like Playboy or Maxim or something, they're just like, man, that girl's hot. But then they're like, I just got to do my job.
But see, you got to think about, you, it's probably, yeah, like, you can think about it and you're like, that's the, that's like an awesome job. You know, like you're like, cool, I get to do this, I get to do that. But then also think about like where we came from. It's like, well, we were also went to art school and we're drawing like naked women and naked guys.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, that's the point now. It's like, all right, I've seen this shit.
The mentality of somebody that
has
like, you know, like a 14-year-old hasn't been around many naked women.
Yeah.
So they're going to be like, their mind's going to be all over the place.
And then, you know, there's a lot of people that I know who are probably looking at me and be like, oh yeah, he's just, you know, he gets to see all these naked women. That's the type of guy. You know, they're sort of taking that pompous like attitude. And I understand like, you know, wholeheartedly, but you know what? It sort of fades out real fast. You know?
So when you see these girls, are they like straight up like naked, or are they just changing?
They're just changing. So it's like,
so you don't really see anything, really.
No.
Yeah. It's like a dressing room.
But at the end of it, you know, like,
but still some guys out there would be like, I wish I could see that.
I mean, there is, but also you sort of gotta, I feel as like a photographer and a filmmaker, you sort of gotta hold on to that energy and save it for the camera. You know what I mean? You gotta sort of, You can take that energy and then you sort of have to somehow translate it into like shooting the image using that energy.
So tell us about like exactly what happened this weekend. So was the photo shoot on Saturday or Sunday? Was it Sunday, right?
It was on Sunday.
Okay. So tell us about like your subject and what you were aiming for and all that.
Well, what we're doing is we're having these photo shoots that are inspired by, you know, past Hollywood icons or just icons in general. And, the one we already did a Marilyn Monroe one with the actress Becca Bales, who's also pretty super awesome, you know, very very kind. And then this week we're working with the actress Stephanie Zabner, who I've worked with before on another film, you know. And so, you know, we're trying to conceptualize like, oh, what character can she be? And so the first thing, you know, I was looking over images, doing some research, and I was like, well, she might be able to play off a Faye Dunaway, you know. And it was pretty interesting because at that point she wasn't really familiar with Faye Dunaway. So in a sense, it's also like,
you're educating.
Yeah, I'm educating. It's weird. And also with Becca, she didn't really know.
She did not know who Marilyn Monroe
was. No, she knew who Marilyn Monroe was. She knows she knows the image though.
Oh yeah.
But see, there's one thing. It's like, you can't really, I don't think a person can really get,
you have to get inside
get
the mind,
get into the character if you haven't seen Marilyn Monroe like talk, speak, sing, you know, the way she holds herself up in motion. Because I think that's, you know, you see a lot of people who are just basing their identities on the image of Marilyn. So you're like, oh yeah, I got the blonde hair, blah 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 blah. But see, there's like a breathing pattern, there's the way she like holds herself, the way she talks, that can come across well on camera, you know what I mean? There's that perfect
subtlety.
They must subtlety.
Become them.
Yeah, basically. And but that's, see, that's how you sort of, that's how certain small, like, it's like you can, it's like you see those key images of Marilyn, but then you realize like, oh, that's like she's taking a small exhale and holding it during this moment. You know what I mean? And that's the image. You know, she's, you know, there's the subtleties is what makes the character.
So how was our Faye Dunaway?
Faye Dunaway, I think, was pretty solid. I really wanted to do because a lot of the Bond, because we're going to focus this on the Bonnie and Clyde era of imagery. But it was difficult because, like, when I first got to Richmond, it was sunny. It was really nice. But it was raining in the Northern Virginia area. But when I got down there, it was sunny. So I was like, cool, we're going to be able to shoot outside. That didn't happen because, like, during the course of overnight, it became thundering and lightning and raining. So the day of the shooting, when I wanted to shoot outside, it wasn't going to happen outside.
So was it, like, complete downpour or just little sprinkles?
It was enough to be like, well, we can't work on this, you know, because, like, and also I wanted that sundown, I wanted that magic hour, and that wasn't really coming out. So what I basically did is I sort of took that concept and, you know, while Hannah was doing her job. And also, what's interesting, I'm always going to put majority of the credit for recreating a lot of these faces or being inspired by, is by Hannah, because Hannah, she's not doing like a normal, like, I'm just gonna make you beautiful look, you know, because there's a little bit of work. Like, there's she's doing, it's almost like subtle special effects makeup. Yes, in a way.
Because I noticed on Becca's Marilyn Monroe pictures, they basically kind of drew in a thicker eyebrow.
Yeah,
Hannah did, and it was pretty amazing, and it looked really good.
Yeah, she should get.
They transform the face.
I mean, and if I can always work with Hannah on makeup and another like another hairdresser just to sort of support that, like, I'll totally, that'll be the dream team right there. So, but like, yeah, so I mean, so that's basically what happens is like, it's a mixture of that. It's like, it's almost acting, but now you're acting as a character, you know what I'm saying? And you're trying to.
So what did she do that. For the makeup to recreate Faye Dunaway?
Was there
any specific things you noticed or techniques?
Well, for one thing, Faye Dunaway has smaller eyes in a way. Well, in contrast to Stephanie, like, there's certain things that had to be sort of shifted, like.
Like, but, they just, so basically Hannah just like photoshopped the face.
Yeah, basically like in real life. But it's like, but it's instead of being like, instead of saying like this got to be totally perfect, we're grabbing what works. You know, what is this? You know, what is the idea of this character?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, from I wasn't there the whole time, but mainly it's like she was, you know, almost like colorizing like certain elements of like the cheek and like the way she would apply makeup on the line, like on the eyes, and then even like the eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it was really like that's why it's so incredible what she does. It's like, it's because of course she can just make it glam, you know what I mean? But this time she's almost taking the idea from an era long ago and applying it on the face. So then when you're thinking about that, you're sort of just like, well, I can't really just be like, oh, I saw that girl get like dressed up. Now it's like, well, you're in the thick of it. If Hannah's going to put this much energy, you got to put as much energy into making the images really be something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and at that point, so it's, of course, we can't go outside, but then I remembered we're on the lot, so we can use the whole entire studio lot. So what I basically ended up doing was I started recreating, we imagined what if Faye Dunaway was on a set. And, you know, she's waiting. That's when these photos are going to take place. So she's going to be like, it's almost like she's rushed, but she's there still for the camera. You know what I mean? It's like,
it's like the hurry up and wait.
Yeah. And so we started recreating those moments. And, you know, from that, we sort of kept on branching off into more ideas. But the soundstage that we're working on basically became, you know, like a almost like a travel point. We're going to find this. Oh, that's a moment. Let's go there. And we just hopped around. And I think it's cool because the images that we did come out with, and like I try to do with all my other photo sessions, is we try to squeeze the most out of the whole time we have. So it's like, cool, we got this one set up. Let's see if we can slightly do another one. So it looks like we did four shoots in like 4 days, but we really just were there for 1 day.
Now, how did the clothes work? That's what I want to know.
The clothes worked absolutely perfect.
Woo!
You did a good job.
Yeah,
like they fit. They fit, and they worked in the character too.
They even fit her too.
Yeah, in the scarves.
Yeah. So how were the scarves?
The scarves.
Did you use the two?
Yeah, well, we used the red one.
Did you go to Bygones?
The one thing that I did buy was the hat. Was that hat? And like, it was funny because
where did you get it at Bygones?
I did go to Bygones, and like I bought it, and then I had Jake's girlfriend Lauren tried on the hat, and it didn't fit her, and I was like, in my head, I was like, oh man. And she was like, yeah, and I have a small head. So I hope she has a, she's like, I hope she has a small head. I don't think that's going to fit her. And I was like, in my head, I was like, crap, that's not going to work. And I was like thinking about returning it before I went to the studio. It was definitely going to happen. I was going to return it when we go to this, like before I go to the studio. But just like anything else, like instead of returning it, I just talked to Jake for a few. Then Robert, who's in charge, called me up like, hey, you going to get down here anytime soon? I was like, oh, I got to leave. So I was like, well, I guess I'll have to suck it in. You know what I mean?
So did the hat work?
Yeah, and the hat was like the main, it fit her perfectly. And
whoa,
she just worked
that's
that.
Awesome.
So everything sort of tied in together too.
And you didn't have to get another silk scarf?
No, that worked too. So everything that we acquired was pretty much used.
Cool. And what about the skirts? Like, which skirt did you use? Which did you like, and which did you use?
We used both, and they both came out with
both grays or the blue one too.
The blue one, I don't think we used. I think that one, because she actually could not fit that one. Like, it was like she couldn't button it. So she can zip it, but she can't button it.
But, interesting.
But I don't know.
I don't think she's a size two then.
Well, I don't really know how it all plays out.
Okay.
But either way, like in the thick of things, I wasn't really calling for that audible much anyway. Because there were certain things that just worked at certain points. But yeah, we used both of the gray skirts worked out.
Did the shorter one look tight on her?
No, I don't think so. They all had different elements. Even with the pencil needle.
Yeah, pencil skirt.
Yeah, that like in a certain combination, that outfit turned into a Joan Holloway like look. Mm. So that was
it's
pretty
nice.
Cool.
So it fit her.
Yeah.
Shapely. So did you notice a difference? Because we had a shorter gray skirt, which was tighter on me, and then we had a pencil skirt that fit more nicer on me. But, you know, she has a different body than me, and I don't know what her body is exactly, so we're all just kind of guessing.
Yeah.
Now, did you notice a difference in the two gray skirts? In the photos?
Well, mainly...
Or did they kind of both look the same? Because, honestly, they were different, but the way you shot them could depend on if they were the same or not, you know?
I mean, it's definitely... One is more leggier than the other one.
Yeah.
And I think for when we use that... When we used that skirt, we went for more of a glam look because Hannah also brought in like sort of like this fur coat, and I was like, we might as well milk this one and just go for that sort of like glam.
Mm-hmm.
So we used that, and like the more legginess actually worked to its effect.
Good.
And then when we went for the Faye Dunaway or the Bonnie look, we used the other one.
Bonnie look. Yeah.
And then also like Steph had like sort of gangster shoes, like gangster heels, and I was like, well, we got to use that whole thing,
cool.
You know. And that was the time where she was sort of conjuring up, trying to. Instead of trying to look like just like beautiful or hot, she was trying to look like evil and or pissed, or not evil or pissed, but more or less like I don't give a fuck, and had that sort of like glare.
She had the edge.
So that was cool to mix that, and then also that. So we had that one white dress too.
Yeah, and how did that work?
Well, that was blatantly just like see through.
Yes, but, it was.
But so, and that was one thing. Like we took test shots on that before Hannah got there. And again, one of those moments where I was like, well, as if I was another person, I can equally just be like, oh my God, I can see through it. And I was looking through the image, like I took it, and I took a photo of it, and I was like, well, it doesn't really play on camera. Like that was
so
the first thing.
Let's describe this outfit.
That's
this
the first
is...
thing I thought. I was like, oh no, let's shoot it. I don't really see anything. So,
well, here's the thing. This item that we found at Salvation Army, I don't know exactly if you'd call it a dress. It might be like a sundress slash nightgown in a way.
Also,
like it's all,
no,
it,
like,
but
there,
it's not an. It's not.
There's
an,
also no size on it. Either.
There was no size on it, and it was definitely vintage.
And also,
I can tell you, it was definitely
thing.
From the 70s, probably.
But before you continue that, the one thing is, even though she was like, "Yeah, it's totally see through," but can I buy it from you? It's like totally awesome. She's like wanted to buy it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Did she buy it from you?
No.
Oh okay. Well, see, I saw it on the rack, and I was like, this is interesting, and I immediately grabbed it. It's white, practically see-through, and I don't know what its intent is. I don't really know if it's a dress or, like, a sundress slash nightgown, but if it's a nightgown, it's, like, a fancy-looking, old-school nightgown. But I guess it could pass as a dress, but I feel like it's more intimate. It's like one of those layers where you wouldn't wear it outside. It's one of those intimate things that you might wear in, like, if you owned a backyard pool, like, in your own privacy, or if, like, you're wearing it to bed. So that's what makes me think it could actually be a nightgown.
It's funny because those things actually look better on camera than, like, normal clothing. Because there was a time I felt like, I'm not a big fan of jeans, and there was one moment, and also, it was really cold in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those situations where...
Where if she's wearing that dress, she's probably freezing.
Well, yeah, so she was cold, and I felt really bad about that because I didn't know. It's a studio. How long is that going to...
She all nipply and cold.
Well, that's the thing. It didn't really come across, but, like, you know, like, you don't want people to be cold, and, you know what I mean? It's just... I was like, you know... There was a moment where...
Well, she has her fur coat now, so...
I mean, not really. I was always like, all right, let's take that off. Because you can only shoot so many with it before it's like...
Well,
I
mean, when she was...
All?
When she, if she's waiting around or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was one setup that where she was wearing jeans at one point, and I was like, for some reason, there's nothing against jeans, or people who make jeans, or people who wear jeans, or who photograph in jeans, but when I look at it, I'm always just like, I don't know, jeans seem to be like the, just the, whatever, you know what I mean? It seems to be like the, the look that just like, oh, that's casual or that's, but doesn't have that character yet because everyone wears jeans. So it'd feel a lot cooler if she was wearing something that not everyone can pull off, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I exchanged that with the skirt.
So back to the sundress slash intimate apparel. But it's like this long, white, see-through, I don't know.
But it's not totally see-through, though. It's not like see-through. It's not like sheer.
It is very sheer, though.
But it's not like
I mean, you could probably see nipples.
But the thing is, you can't, or at least on camera, you couldn't. But it was like an outfit. It looks white. You know what I mean?
And then there's little daisies on the straps.
But what I'm saying is that it's not a see-through like if you're to get it from like an adult store see-through. This was just like it happened to be. It needs to have like a slip underneath it or something.
Yeah. Or more.
Well, why would people even make an outfit like that?
Well, that's why I honestly think it's an intimate dress. It's not something that you wear outside. It's something that you wear like hanging out on your privacy of your backyard or hanging out with your husband in bed.
I'm gonna hang out with.
You know, like during a hot summer night, it's one of those things. You don't really like. No one would really wear that outside, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, it had daisies on it, and I picked it up off the rack, and I was like, we could use this. And I showed it to Joe, and he was like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. I didn't really ponder it as much. It's just those moments where you're like, yeah, we gotta use it.
I was just saying to Joe, I was like, Bonnie would wear this, like, you know, if she was on, like, a hot summer night or something.
There's an image of her wearing something similar to that. So,
really?
Yeah, like.
Maybe I was channeling her. When I was going through the rack.
But not the whole dress, but, you know, it was like, well, it sort of was on underneath in one of the images.
Yeah, like, so I just felt like the character Bonnie would wear that, so I just put it in the cart. And there was only one of it, obviously. I mean, like, I don't think, that might be the only one that exists in the world or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how good quality, like, you could tell it was a little bit old. It was, you know, it's probably from the 70s.
That's so, the perfect era, because
like
that's where we're
born before us. Yeah, like that thing's older than us. So, I'm glad that worked out then.
Yeah.
So, which setup did you like the best? Like, which outfit really played?
And I'm still looking over the images now, so I don't know really.
I haven't seen the images yet at all, so I have no idea.
Well, I'll show it to you later, but I'm not really. I did. I mean, there's each one had its moments. So each one I liked. If I didn't like the setup, I would actually just stop and be like, all right, this isn't working. Let's go do something else. So I would have to have that attachment to it anyway to like it. So in a sense, I think there's something out of each one that's really awesome. So, and also what I really liked was having that behind the scenes like look to it was really cool. Like instead of like, oh, we got this C-stand in the shot. Oh, we got this Apple box. It's like, no, fucking let's use that as part of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think that came across really cool. You know, like, it is like the soundstage look, which I'm really happy about.
Yeah, even in the diners that we visited in LA area and all around that area, like, they had, like, basically headshots of Marilyn Monroe or, you know, anybody. James Dean and stuff like that. But then there also would be behind-the-scenes shots that were just random snapshots you'd see.
And, like, those are the ones I'm, like, really excited about. I like that look, you know? I like that sort of, like, things are happening look. Because I'm not a big fan of, like, headshots. Not, you know, I shoot a whole bunch of headshots. But I like that telling of a story that something's happening. That's what I like out of my images. Out of anything I do, you know, something that's progressing and something that's happening. Because even when Hannah's doing her makeup and like applying it, I shoot those, you know, because they look awesome. That's action. That's a story there. So I try to take advantage of those moments.
So what else did you do this weekend?
Well, the night before that, I was able to earn $20 because Jake was drunk.
you earned $20.
Well, basically, so his next door neighbor, you know, he's like a 50 or 40 year old. Him and his friend like needed a ride to the elder people's club. I guess like a club for older people.
What, AARP?
No, like a club, like, you know, like
AARP is a club.
No, but I mean,
it's a big clubhouse. They all hang up in the tree.
No, but what I really mean, like, you know, like. like, you know, going clubbing club.
Club for old people.
Yeah, or
like how old?
Or like
you need to get a walker to get in or something?
I don't know, but you know, it's not for the youth, is what I'm saying.
So
it's
like 40 and up?
It's at the Holiday Inn. So it's, but basically what happened that day then was so he gets a call and he's like, Joe, you want to earn $20? And we're just sitting there watching like George Carlin. And I was like, doing what? He's like, well, my next door neighbor needs a ride to go to the club and a ride back. And when he's done, and you know, I took that moment. I was like, yeah, let's go do it. It's $20.
So how far away was the Holiday Inn?
It was just like, you know, probably like 10 minutes down the street. But apparently, like, there's no cab. Like, he was trying to call a cab, but no one would. There's no cabs open, so he called us. And so then after that, he just like, it's weird when like older people are drunk and having a good time, and I'm just like, and we're there. I'm just, well, first thing I said,
as
was
long
like,
as they didn't throw up in your car.
Yeah, that was gonna be the last straw. I would have pissed as shit. But during that time, while
you would have pissed as shit.
No, I would have been pissed as shit.
Okay.
But like during that time, I found out a lot of information. They were talking about prostitutes, and then
what?
You know, and then
was Jake in the car with you?
Yeah, Jake was. I'm not gonna do this alone, man. Jake was gonna be next to me there. He might have been drinking, but it's all right. But
So what is this important information you found out about prostitution?
No, maybe it might be just a Richmond prostitution thing, or maybe a word of mouth thing. But he was like saying like, oh yeah, man. How much you think you can pay? How much you think you would pay for a prostitute, or how much you think they cost? And I was like, well, probably over $100, right? He's like, and he was like, nah, man, you can get them over here for $30. I was like, what? Are you telling me that like Chuck season 2 costs more than some girl's vajayjay?
So do you think that's a good deal?
And then he was like pressing the fact of like, yeah, if they do 5, that's 150 a day. I'm like, damn, I'm so happy I have the job that I do. If people are just selling their bodies for $30, and I was like, well, or me and Jake were like, so what do you get for $30, man? He's like, dude, suck whatever, fuck whatever, man, eat whatever, it's all you want. I was like, damn, for $30? I'm like, what type of women are you? He was like, you can get some pretty women for that. I was like, what?
I don't know any like, pretty women that would be doing that. I was for like, $30.
I don't know if it's like a day. He's like,
so who are these pretty women?
I don't know. He was like, you can't look them up in the phone book, man. You gotta ask someone, then they're gonna know someone, and that's how it happens. I was like, all right, dude.
Oh man, I hope they're really pretty.
But it was pretty crazy because when we were rolling up to pick them up like at 2 o'clock, pretty much 2 o'clock in the morning, I was like almost falling asleep. It's funny because you know when you see. When you go to a club with like, you know, like 20-year-olds or something like that, they're all hanging out outside and all like giggling.
Yeah.
This was like the same thing, except it was like older, like 40, like
you
people
know, in like, wheelchairs and
like,
stuff.
Like what's it called? Like cougars and
oh,
older
cougars.
Guys. And like, I mean, it was
so
funny.
They weren't like that old. They were like 40.
No, but yeah, but how many? But like
you said, old people. I was picturing like people with a cane or something.
Oh, and we saw a
playing
couple
playing bingo.
We
or something.
We saw a couple of those there too. It was awesome. There was one point when we were pulling when we were driving out the first time, after we dropped them off, Jake saw like two older gentlemen, but they're all dressed like cowboys. And he had
nice.
Like they had like the string. What is like
the string tie?
Yeah,
thing.
The string tie. The first thing that Jake said is like, "Look at those guys, man! They're gonna get laid tonight."
Did he yell that out the window?
No, you just said it casually. But if you look at them, you know how like when guys are young and they're going out when they're high school,
and they look all hot and they have their hair all gelled up,
you know,
like the Miz,
and they're all like walking like, yeah, I'm gonna
they
get
the swagger.
I'm gonna get that, just like Sanjay Dutt, the king of the swag. Yeah, and they're all walking. Yeah, I'm gonna get some of these women. But then imagine that, like say 50-year-olds dressed as cowboys, and they're like all like. Hey, what's, you know what I mean?
Those are the guys that are getting it.
And but it's cool because like you know
did
when,
they look cool?
I get, yeah, they looked they I mean I don't know how
they did they look like they have swagger?
They look like they're swagging, you know what I mean? hold on. But it was but also when we pulled up to pick them up, you know how like when you know after parties people are like hanging out outside. All like the young kids are all like causing like you're like ah, and they're all girls are all laughing shit. Imagine this with like older people. It sort of blows my mind, man.
Makes sense. I mean, like, how many you know, you hear about people getting divorced and stuff, but then you never really, at our age, I guess, I never really wonder about, like, 45-year-olds that, like, you know, had a divorce. Like, how do they go back out and, like, hit the field again, you know?
Apparently they go to the Holiday Inn where the I think it's, like, the Moonlight Club or something like that.
Moonlight Club.
I forget what it is, but it's just, like, it's amazing that there's these clubs out there. But I guess they all.
But you know, have you ever? I never really like think about like people that get divorced and they're like age 45 and they've been married most of their life and then like it's like where are you supposed to go to meet people?
it was funny.
They go to the Holiday Inn.
It's cool because when we picked them up, like the way they're talking, it was pretty awesome. It's like they never lost that swagger. Like. And Jake was like, "Oh, did you try to get up on that blonde girl over there?" That you know, they're all like a group of girls hanging out with these guys. You know how it is, but they're like older ones, and they're all like, you know, they're all sort of bigger. You know what I mean? Because I guess they're older, and you know, like that.
They didn't keep up with their bodies.
And Jake was like, "You try to get with that one?" And the dude was like, "Yeah, I tried to get with that one, man. But that you don't want to get that pussy. That pussy dirty, man. I don't know where that shit's been."
Oh
dude.
My gosh. So did they get any women?
No.
They just went back?
That was actually my biggest... That was my biggest fear, is that
you'd be bringing home the girls,
yeah,
too?
And, like, you'd get caught up in their mess, like, "Oh, what's your name, Joe?" And, "Yeah, that's stuff I know." I was like, "I don't give a fuck, dude." It's like, "I already have a hot girlfriend. I don't need your old ass."
And then then they're all... What if they're all, like, making out in the back of the car, and then you feel like a parent taking the kids out?
Yeah, but it's like the reverse.
And then they're like all kissing, and they're like, and then like somebody's dentures fall out or something, and then it's like all crazy going on back there, and then who knows what's going on? I mean, somebody breaks a rib.
They're really good guys, but the big surprising thing was just like the $30 prostitutes. It's like, damn.
So and they know all about it, right?
I guess so.
Man, I want to know more about these $30 prostitutes.
I don't want to know.
I want to know who they are, because, like, who does that for $30?
That's
no
good.
Offense to anyone who's listening out there who does that for $30.
We definitely need to get those names, because those are the ones that are spreading all the disease in the world, man.
Maybe. I don't know, but, like, I want to know how pretty they are. They say that these girls are so pretty, but honestly, I don't know any girls that's out there doing that for $30. Because you hear about girls, like... I heard about girls, like, on, like, you know that Hot 99.5 radio station or whatever?
Yeah.
They were talking about girls who ask, like, their boyfriends or just guys in general to, like, pay for their rent.
Yeah.
And, like, apparently people were calling in, like, crazy saying, like, that they knew girls who got free cars from a guy and guys that paid their rent and guys that paid for all this other stuff for them and handbags and cell phones and Lord knows what else. It's probably all for sex, though. It's like in exchange for sex, do you think?
Yeah, most likely.
So in a way, like, are they prostituting themselves just to hang out with a rich guy?
They're all prostituting themselves in some way or form.
So maybe
world full of prostitutes.
Maybe it's not like... Oh,
prostitution ring,
maybe
United States.
There's not like an actual Universal. Monetary value on per sex act or something like that. But maybe it's just like this hookup thing where a lot of young girls... And I'm assuming that actually probably... And this is a total assumption. I'm assuming that probably a lot of these girls that they're speaking of that get cars and get, you know, their rent paid for and stuff like that, I'm actually assuming that probably a lot of them are pretty hot.
I mean, they're using the skills that they have. They can't really do anything else if they wanted to, right?
But how can they... I could not go through life knowing that, like, I'm sitting on my ass all day knowing that some guy bought a car for me.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know,
a car
or whatever, you know? It's one thing to get a nice present every now and then or have somebody take you out for dinner or something, you know? I'm not saying that girls shouldn't get anything. But at the same time, if you're going to go buy somebody a dang car, the people that were calling in were saying that a lot of these girls don't even work. like a real job, you know?
Didn't we meet a couple of those in L.A.? So what do you do? Nothing.
Like, can you straight up say that's what people say? What do you do? And you just say nothing? No,
I don't do anything. What the hell are you doing here? Go get a freaking job, man.
For real. But it's like, you know,
I don't do anything.
Like I said, it's one thing you take a girl out for dinner. That's nice. I'm not against that. But it looks like a lot of these girls have like sugar daddies. Now, I don't know if it's like that in Richmond though.
Sugar daddy.
I'm assuming in Richmond, actually, you probably could get a $30 prostitute, but I don't know how pretty they are.
Yeah, see, that's the main factor. I would like to think that, like, you know, the better they are, the better quality they are, that the price would go up.
Yeah,
you know?
like look at the women in DC that are, like, supposedly hot. Now, you know, none of them.
But DC's not rated as one of the hottest.
Actually, it is.
Is it? No, it's not.
Yes, it is. There was some study that came out.
Is it in the top 10?
Yeah, DC is.
No, it's
of
not.
Of hot people. Yes, it
no
is.
No way.
And the number one hottest people were in Bethesda, Maryland, which is pretty close. Seriously, it did come out.
That's and impossible.
Bethesda, Maryland just so you know, Bethesda, Maryland also happens to be one of the richest income cities.
Well, there you go. Plastic surgery.
So, or no, there you go. Rich people can buy off for things.
That's right.
So, anyway, think about the pretty women up in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area.
Okay.
Now, think about the pretty women in Richmond.
All right.
Now, what can you tell me about those?
Wait, the ones in Richmond?
Both of them. Think about the prettiest women that you see in Richmond.
I can't.
Okay, now think about...
I can't really... because it's weird because, like, you think of Richmond, you instantly just think of the college... VCU, so it's like, well, those are the college girls, you know?
I remember one time you said that, like, the... What was your opinion of a Richmond woman in general?
Like, at that time, I was like, it's like the art school chick with the hairy armpits and hairy legs. And I was like...
That has a beer belly.
And I was like, or they're trying to be bikers and maybe have, like, thick glasses.
Now, that's the...
And they're activists.
Is that what you get for $30 there?
That's what I'm thinking, man. I'm like, their idea of hot... Nothing against them. There's probably a lot of hotter women in Richmond. Maybe I've just been...
associated with them.
Maybe I've just been, you know, maybe tainted by some girls. Some of the ugly ones, I guess.
Now,
whoever they might be.
Okay, now what does the average hot girl in Northern Virginia look like? D.C. area.
Like a snobby bitch.
Now, how much do you think each one would charge?
What, in D.C.?
For sex.
In D.C.?
Yeah.
Well, what's D.C., baby?
That's are you talking about D.C., like, typical prostitution, which could be dirty?
We're talking about, like, escorts? Like, heavy
escorts? Are you talking
escorts?
About, like, typical prostitution where you literally pick off a piece of dirt off the street, or your escorts where you're actually paying for probably a hot girl who will do stuff for money?
I mean,
I'm
thinking it might be the streets one. But I bet they'd still cost more.
See,
I don't know
how much prostitutes.
They had that show. They had that show, something like on HBO about like the red light prostitution or whatever, like in New York. And I guess they were charging pretty cheap. They're like,
how much?
Yeah,
were they?
Suck a cock for $10.
Are you kidding me?
Suck $20. What do you get? What do I get for $40?
For $10?
What can I get for 50 cents?
For $10, they were really doing that?
But this is like, man, see, I'm all
like
about...
Like, really, for 10 bucks, you can't even buy a CD for $10. You can't even buy a meal for $10.
I'm all about quality, man. I don't want that. Sometimes when it's charged too cheap, it makes me wonder where it's been, what it's all about. It might not be the best thing, you know what I mean? Like, you get that Walmart prostitution. I don't know about that Walmart prostitution.
What is a good price to pay for you to have a quality prostitute?
I don't know. You sort of gotta look at that. Well, still, like, something over 200 seems about right. You know.
Now let's see. What about like a girl who, you know, is a, like, you know, they have those prostitution rings that are, like, for lack of a better word, I guess, legitimate prostitutions, where you know that the girl is, like, in a group of other women, you know, like,
I mean, like the Bunny Land Ranch.
I guess something similar to that, but more like this.
Or like the Asian ones where they line you up.
No, not the Asian ones, but like a ring of prostitution girls where you know that, like, you're gonna get a good quality and the girls actually look good.
What was the question again?
Now, how much would you think would be a good cost for that? Like, not somebody that you just pick up off the street, but just something that you know is, like...
Again, like, over...
Know, a company-based foundation.
Well, I know
of a illegal act.
Well, I know for a fact that in high school, when a group of, you know, when like, a group ordered, like, the stripper, that was, like, $250.
And that was just...
And that was
stripper.
Just taking clothes off and, you know... Dancing for underage guys and one 13-year-old. But yeah, that was $250. You know what I mean? So I would like to think that it's cost more than that.
Now, since you said that you're not going to pay for, like, $10, you know.
I'd say that's in the range right there. I would never do that now, but I'd say if I were looking at the proper pricing, you know,
yes,
when you
now,
make
I'm
rates.
Now, I'm not talking about you actually doing this. Now, I'm talking about just straight up money. Now, how much do you think would you pay for a good prostitute?
How much
that,
would
that,
I?
That you think was pretty, that you thought was like at least decently clean. Well, that probably
much,
goes
are you
out
saying
with
how
like,
much how much I would or how much would I think how think much, one would be priced?
Actually, because in a way, both, because it's like here's like a baseline price that would be like guaranteed quality, not just like dirty. And then also a base of price that you would pay for like knowing that you would be getting something up to your level.
Now this is what I think. It's like when you see Kid Rock like hang out with hookers, or Fred Durst and all those rock stars hang out with hookers, I think that's what you're getting too. When you pay like $500 or something, or $600 or whatever, $250 to have like those girls, you know what I mean?
Like the really pretty, basically Playboy level girls.
Yeah,
like,
but you're also getting that experience. You like they hang out with you, you know what I mean? You get to, you know, you get to have fun and games. But I think like the dirty down in dirt deep,
like the
dirt,
$10 dirty.
Yeah, they're just like blop 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 blop, and then all right, I'll see you later. You know what I mean? That's it. But they're not like, they're not
and
there.
And they'll do anything. Yeah. They'll basically lick a toilet seat.
Yeah, and they're not there to have like a good time and make you feel good. They're just there to do their job and get the fuck out of there. But like, I feel like those, the Kid Rock prostitutes.
No, those are what I'm talking about. Like the Kid Rock prostitutes, let's call them that. Or like the Playboy prostitutes. Basically, those are girls, like how, remember that governor of New York, or was it the governor of... Not governor of New York, the senator. I don't know. Oh, that's Hillary Clinton. But the governor.
How about the senator?
No, remember that governor of New York that was caught with that young girl, and she was like supposedly hot, and like
yeah.
She I don't remember the exact price, but it was something like.
Did she have like a Facebook and she became all like huge?
Yeah, she had like some type of. She wanted to be a singer or something, and yeah. She became huge for like a week, and then now I don't even know her name. But basically, I think she was paying like it was like $6,000 a night or something like
yeah.
That. It was outrageous.
But what
now,
else
now,
were they
do you
doing?
I don't know. And also, apparently, it might have been more because he didn't use condoms, and he refused to use condoms.
Well, there you go.
So basically, they were having unsafe sex. You know, who knows what they both had, but like, and he saw her multiple times. Now, yeah. But I guess my question is like, how much do you think would be a good price to pay with like a fun prostitute like that would hang out with Kid Rock that you would pay for to have like a hot girl on you?
No less than 400 if that's gonna be how it is. If like they're gonna go, if you're gonna go on a date, you know what I mean? Like you get that dream.
No, I
girl.
Have a feeling.
Because that's what usually like that prostitute level, that's like you're ordering like the dream girl experience. You know what I mean?
Now I have a feeling, Joe, that your price is a little bit low. Considering that girl.
No, I said no less.
Oh, no less.
No,
than
no less than that, yeah.
But I still have a feeling if that other girl was 6,000 a night.
Yeah, but then I think after that, it's just good marketing. Because it's still a business.
You know what?
It's
I
just
do
good
think
marketing
that
for that.
Basically, with having all these girls come out, because there was another one that came out after that. I don't remember who that was, but, you know, hearing their
could
prices.
Could be any one of Tiger Woods.
Yeah, any one of Tiger Woods' girls that he basically pays off, like, in
also,
a way. In a
also,
way, that's prostitution,
you,
to be honest with
you. You also got to think
and
about...
They're all porn stars.
And you also got to think about it, too, is that, like, again, bring it into the business standpoint. It is a business, so they're marketing themselves to a demographic that can pay
to celebrities
them. Or you know to not or just the celebrities but to a
well-known
client no to a clientele that can that the clientele that can pay the price that she wants to get paid,
because you know there was
doesn't matter if it's a celebrity or not, but just a clientele.
There was a
that
DC
that.
Madame that actually committed suicide because she was going to court for all this, and it was like a year ago I think she died, but before this, you know, she was going on undercover in D.C. for the longest time.
Yeah.
And they would meet all these... Apparently, you know, from what I saw, the girls, like, looked actually pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're getting grade-A women...
Yeah.
...that basically are just doing it for the money.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm assuming that they don't just, like, lick and get out. But,
yeah.
Like, you know, they at least give you a good time, but... And, like, you know, it's all so these, like, senators and governors and all these... high up political people can do it without their wives knowing, and they
yeah.
And they're all like young girls too. Like most of the girls were college age.
Yeah,
21,
trying
22.
To get their PhD. You know.
Yeah, I mean studying
MBA,
some body parts or
you know
something.
What I mean. Trying to get that fitness.
And these are like probably girls that actually
they all have a dream. You know.
You know, I don't know if I would say that they're smart, but like you know, they're girls that have been probably raised right. It's not like they're on the streets and don't have any money and like really need $10.
Yeah.
You know. Like these are girls that like it's like why do you have to do that? I think they just do that because they feel like powerful around a, like some powerful rich politician or something, but beyond that they can get 6,000 a night, so it's like 6,000. Let's just keep rolling with the show, Joe. I think we have some technical difficulties of
no
the...
it's fine.
Okay, well anyway, So, but $6,000 a night, Joe. I feel like that's a base price if you're gonna get like a girl like
Jesus.
That. So more for than your $400,
more than the cost of my camera, I can get the supposed girl of my dreams to hang out with me
for a night,
maybe 10 hours.
And you know what? They're not even gonna care about you after they leave.
Because it's business. It just gets down to business.
And they'll probably like want to hook up again because they know that you have money. So then, you know, $6,000, $12,000, $24,000, it adds up.
It's amazing how this sounds very similar to just real, I mean, other actual business practices of just, you know, just working with other companies and other clients. It's all the business is all the same. The rules are the same. It's just the terms change.
So did the music really go out, or is that near the end of our show?
It's near the end of the show.
So that song ended?
Hmm?
That song ended?
Yeah.
Oh, to me it sounded like it just cut off. Sorry.
Well,
about
it's
that.
Probably just the song, but the flow
that
is still the flow
me.
The flow is still going.
It tricked me. Anyway.
Because we only have a certain amount of time for the show.
I know that.
Or else our sponsors will pull us for being too rowdy talking about prostitution.
But you know what? You tricked me with that song.
How did I trick you?
It just kind of ended, and like I wasn't prepared, and I thought something happened with the CD, but that's okay.
No.
Okay, my bad. Well, anyway. So
see, there you
what,
go.
What do you think? What so your official cost is $400?
No, I said no less than $400 for some sort of quality over there.
And $6,000 is like a good quality.
That is like that's like if you have your ultimate membership. You know what I mean? The ultimate membership, no one. Those are the prices, America. You can settle for, and this is just a metaphor for life too. You can settle for a $30, $10 prostitute, or you can pay no less than $400 to $6,000 to get that high-quality prostitution.
Or you can get a girlfriend.
Or you can get a real girlfriend, and we don't know how much money that will cost you in the long run, but you will know that you'll get quality no matter what. At least some of you. I hope you do. And that's the end of the show. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
I hope you all get a nice prostitute tonight. Whoever it is.
Choose wisely.
Choose wisely. Have a good night. You all that you can drink, and it has never been enough. I gave you blood.